6 o'clock, should we call the meeting to order? Call the meeting of the South San Luis Obispo Sanitation District's regular meeting for Wednesday, October 4th, 2017 at 6 p.m. Would you please roll the call, or call the roll? There I go.
Sure. I wanted to announce that in conformance with the bylaws, in the case of the absence of the chair and vice chair. In conformance with the bylaws, and in the case of the absence of the chair and vice chair, the chair will can name someone to sit as chair in his absence and the absence of the vice chair. And tonight he has requested that Karen White with OCSD be the chair. So roll call. Director White?
Here.
Director Nichols?
Here.
Director Hill?
Here.
Okay, shall we all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Agenda review, or do we have any amendments, changes, misspellings?
Nothing that I saw.
Nothing that I saw, James?
No.
Mr. Hill, excuse me.
No.
Do I have a motion then?
Move to accept the agenda as presented.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 3-0. Then we will move on to public comment. The public comment period is an invitation to members of the community to present comments, thoughts, and suggestions on matters not scheduled on this agenda. Comments should be limited to those matters which are within the jurisdiction of the district. The Brown Act restricts the board from taking formal action on matters not published on the agenda. In response to your comments, the chair or presiding board member may direct staff to assist or coordinate with you. Direct staff to place your issue or matter on a future board agenda, board meeting agenda. Please adhere to the following procedures when addressing the board. Comments should be limited to 3 minutes or less. Your comments should be directed to the board as a whole and not directed to an individual board member. Slanders, profane, and personal remarks against any board member, staff, or member of the audience shall not be permitted. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Otis Page. I'm a citizen of Arroyo Grande and a ratepayer of the district. Respectfully, I am requesting a formal request of the board to supply the names of all council members and all the minutes of the records where John Wallace was manager of the district. The reason for that, if Wallace is held to be guilty, those members of the board may be held in jeopardy legally because of the violation of their fiduciary responsibility to the citizens of allowing John Wallace to do what he did. That's a very serious matter. I want to advise you that you should be reminded by your own personal counsels, that is, directors of the board, that you too could be held accountable for your fiduciary responsibilities, not only as it terms to the operations of the council, but on the administrating the affairs legally of the board. Further, it is my considered judgment after seeing the performance of the board, it is subject to historic corruption. Corruption. Something needs to be changed, drastically changed, for what has happened for the indictment of Jim Hill, which you will discuss later, which I am not discussing now.
Thank you.
understand that the largest constituent body of this district is Arroyo Grande. He is the mayor of that city. I am very critical of the judgment that the council made 3-2 on Jim Hill. That's a question of public health, public domain. Right. So it is instructive for you to understand, personally, of your own legal responsibilities. If you don't have personal counsels now advising you, you should have them. Because if there's any chance that you could be indicted also for judgments you're making, you should be appraised by your own personal counsel. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I kind of want to give you a little bit of history and maybe open your eyes a little bit. A year ago, September, seated on your on this board was Mary Lucy from Oceano. At the time, she was quite involved in the election cycle and the election period. She was interested in the mayor's race in Arroyo Grande. And she posted on the Facebook page of Richard Waller a statement that said, the field supervisor is running the plant into the ground and it has only created more harm to us and polluted our ocean past repair. This statement is false. And it led to your board considering the censure of Ms. Lucy at their September 21st, 2016 board meeting. At that time, the board was unable to censure Ms. Lucy. Legal counsel advised the board that there was no process in place in which to censure any board member. The board subsequently directed staff to repudiate the misstatements of Ms. Lucy, which never happened. What did happen was on February 15th, and I believe Ms. White was there, February 15th, 2017, Mayor Hill, Ms. White, and John Scholes adopted a bylaw providing a process for censure. So my question tonight is, now that there is a bylaw since February, can we retroactively apply it to Ms. Lucy's misstatements? And the reason I ask that is because the evidence that's in the reports from Liebert Cassidy Whitmore, the evidence against Mr. Hill all predates that bylaw. So while I am not speaking to the censure that's on the agenda tonight, I am speaking to the district's ability to censure any of you. I also question the wisdom as to why you would do that. It doesn't seem appropriate. And to apply it in retroactivity tonight, later in the agenda, I would ask that you apply it retroactively to September of 2016 and that effort to censure Ms. Lucy at that time.
Thank you. Next.
Good evening. I'm Stuart Jenkins. I'm not a rate payer, nor am I a voter in the district, but I've been coming as Mayor Hill's attorney enough to see significant factors that are important to you. And my, you know, the job of a lawyer is often to educate. So Acting Chair White, Director Nichols, Director Hill, I wanted to provide you just an educational email that I sent to your counsel and Mr. Sweet and the acting team that you have administering. I'll pass the other two copies down. And I'm going to keep this really short. The Brown Act is a fascinating, long read, and it has many parts that work together. But the bottom line is the obligation for enforcing the Brown Act is the members of the legislative body. The attorney for the legislative body and the director or administrator or manager for the legislative body really don't have much exposure if they mislead you and put agendas together that don't comply with the Brown Act. Now, I'm not going to go any farther than that, but I think if you take a look at what I've put in there, there's three sections that work together that require certain things to be on the agenda or available in the packet or available at the dais when you go into closed sessions, particularly on Government Code Section 45956.9E5. And you'll see that that is on your agenda today. There is not the kind of things on the agenda or in the board packet that are described by the three sections when read together. And I've noticed in the last meeting agenda, the same problem arose. So I wanted to bring that to your attention so that you could take steps to improve how your agendas are prepared. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Patricia Price, ratepayer. I wanted to speak to the hypocrisy of this board. And I will say a couple of things specifically. Mayor Scholz went to China. This is my understanding. He went to China representing the city of Grover Beach. He did not discuss it with his council, although he did represent himself.
Pardon? Your slanderous, profane, or personal remarks against any board member, staff, or member of the audience shall not be permitted. Do we need an interpretation on that? I'm just asking.
Good evening, Chair and board members. I would allow the speaker to have her 3 minutes and move on.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. And when he came back, he didn't report out to the council on his travels. And I just find that very interesting that one of your directors acted in a unilateral way and is now faulting another director for that. And Mary Lucy spoke very untruthfully, and I called her out on it, and she was never reprimanded in any way. Here's what I really want to say. Mayor Hill is not the problem with the board. John Clemens is not the problem with the plant. Amy Simpson needs to get back to the job she does with such expertise. The South Sand District is working its way out of chaos created by the past administrator and a board majority that refused to listen to repeated warnings of an engaged and well-informed public. Myself and others repeatedly asked questions that were left unanswered. Yes, I questioned Mr. Huebner early on when he went forward with placing an unpermitted trailer that had not been approved by the board on an area where the redundancy project was to be located. To me, that was an early indication of lack of transparency, and that was only the beginning. I agree, we need to move on. Just stop the collateral damage that Huebner has left in his wake. Mayor Hill is not the problem with the board. John Clemens is not the problem at the plant. And Amy Simpson needs to get back to the job that she does with expertise. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. And I do want to make clear, I live in Halcyon, but with my family, I'm part owner of several properties in Arroyo Grande. So I live in Halcyon, but I'm a ratepayer. I think at this point now we're rehashing again Wallace, Huebner, things about Mary Lucy. We're talking about the same old stuff again. I think we should move on to the redundancy project and other things that are the core issues of this group. Thank you.
Members of the board, Colleen Kubel, Arroyo Grande. I just wanted to come before you and say all of this needs to be put behind us. Everyone makes mistakes. Doesn't matter who's on the board. And we need to go past that. We need to get on with the work of the plant and make everything work as it is and could be in the future if we stop this. We need to stop spending the money that we're spending for litigation. And the only way that that can happen is if it stops tonight. It's got to be put behind us tonight. You know me. You know I would not be standing up here if I wasn't sure of what I'm talking about and the background of where I have been here listening and going through the investigation and everything that's happened. I wouldn't be standing up here saying that this needs to be behind us. And the best way for that to happen right now is to put it behind us tonight. Thank you.
Next. Seeing no one come forward, I will close public comment on items not on the agenda. Move on to the consent agenda. The following routine items listed below are scheduled for consideration as a group. Each item is recommended for approval unless noted. Any member of the public who wishes to comment on any consent agenda item may do so at this time. Any board member may request that any item be withdrawn from the consent agenda to permit discussion or to change recommended courses of action. The board may approve the remainder of the consent agenda in one motion, and that would be the minutes and the warrants.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. We have an amended warrant register. We need to are requesting that
we are requesting that an additional warrant be added to the warrant register tonight for Tri-County's office furniture that we failed to place on the we mistakenly did not place on the warrant register for tonight. I have copies for each of you, and there are copies available for the audience.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, 270701.
Excuse me. We couldn't have it in much smaller type. Does anybody want to call public first, or?
Madam Chair, I would request. I have one item I'd like to discuss on the warrants.
Yes.
If you want to consider this separately or just have comment.
I think, yes, your request will separate the warrants and the minutes separately then.
Okay.
So we'll start with the warrants. Do we want to take public comment first? Is there any public comment on the warrants?
Julie Tacker, and could I get a question answered before I comment? The question is, what contract is this work from Shannon Sweeney?
I will address question that comes from the dais.
Could I find out?
Sure. Shannon Sweeney has a contract for up to, I believe, $10,000 for general engineering services with the district, and that was performed under that contract.
Is that the contract that Mr. Huebner entered into with her?
I believe so.
Okay. I have a copy of that contract, and that's why I asked, and thank you for clarifying. That contract is actually a not to exceed $5,000. So with tonight's expenditure of $2,080 on top of the $3,080 she was awarded about 2 months ago, the contract now is in excess of $5,000. So I don't believe you can pay her more than $5,000 tonight in the cumulative cost. The what is interesting about that contract, and I'll just, if you'll allow, explain that she highlights, there's an exhibit to the contract that says what tasks she's going to do and when and the approximate hours in which it would take. And if she fulfilled the contract the way it's written, it actually exceeds $5,000 on its face. So this is indicative of the quality of work from Mr. Huebner.
Can I speak?
Yes.
I'm Cinnamon Lofton, and I'm from Grover Beach. And I respect what you were saying about let's move on. What I really don't understand, I've been coming to the meetings and doing my best to understand. I don't know how you can move on when there's no resolution. I hear question after question being asked and no answers coming forth. And I keep thinking, well, oops, the next meeting, well, then we'll hear what they didn't answer in the last, and I don't. So I just wonder, how do you move on when you don't come to some resolution? Thank you.
Thank you.
Mary Lucy, Madam Chair. I have a question about the warrants.
Yes, thank you.
You know, could you ask staff which one was the addition or the subtraction from the original warrant packet?
Yes, it's warrant. I'm sorry.
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, it's warrant 2477, Tri-County's office furniture for 270701.
Okay.
And it's like third from the bottom.
Yeah, okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any more questions on the warrants? Comments on the warrants?
Patricia Price, I have a problem with another nearly $10,000 being awarded to Liebert Cassidy of Whitmore for what I believe was a very shoddy, very biased investigation. At one point, he questions a contract extension, communication about a contract extension between the administrator and counsel. And He says that that Jim went beyond his capacity as a director by asking for a contract to be changed. If he had talked to Jim, he would have realized that Jim asked that a date be changed because it was dated 2016 instead of 2017. I don't understand still to this day why Jim was not interviewed. I know that he didn't.
You're kind of getting off track there on the warrant.
It's because I'm questioning the shoddiness and how much we're paying for that investigation.
Okay. Thank you.
I just really have a problem with, what is it, $50,000, $60,000, going on $70,000 now? I mean, and what did they get? They really got nothing. Mayor Hill answered all of the allegations, and it seemed to me that he refuted all of them. So we're paying a lot of money for a lot of nothing. And I really resent, you know, that investigation was started. And I will go further into that later.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. So to talk about the cost of legal fees, well, here's the problem that I see is that Julie Tacker, a non-ratepayer, is costing us ratepayers, or we ratepayers, money. According to the investigator, it was $5,500 for the city of Arroyo, and at least that much for the sanitation district, and maybe more. So at this point, that's a total of $11,000. You know, as a ratepayer, I don't appreciate paying for somebody that is not a ratepayer. You know, it's like if you're going to cost money, do it on your own dime, not on someone else's. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Board discussion on the warrants?
I have no. Let's see, wait a minute. I do have one question. The $3,900 to Just Resolutions. Budget line item is human resources. Was that hiring someone or interviewing people? What generated that $3,900?
Well, it was a personnel issue. I don't want to get into it too far, but it was hiring a mediator.
Okay.
And being it was brought up, I will see if there needs to be some kind of follow-up on the Shannon Sweeney contract.
I don't have the contract here in front of me, but I did review the contract numbers. I do not believe that Ms. Tacker has a full set of contracts in this regard. So we can certainly continue this item to the next meeting. I'm sure Ms. Sweeney won't object, so that we can bring forth the documents required that substantiate that payment. But I do believe that we do have contracts in place that are beyond what Ms. Tacker has in her hands.
If I might make a suggestion, Madam Chair, perhaps we could authorize paying Ms. Sweeney up to the $5,000 tonight, and then allow staff time to verify the contract status for next meeting.
Well, I don't so have
as much as we can. Obviously, pay we can do.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is because I don't have the same information Ms. Tacker has, so I'm not sure what the difference is. Sure.
I got it from Gerhard Hittner, so it better be.
Well,
unless you've amended it.
Unless it has been amended.
Okay, well, then that's what you probably should have said.
One other issue, Madam Chair, is the what I view as an unreasonably high legal fee. I've objected to this many times in well over $100,000, approaching $150,000, and well over $300,000 in total legal fees to date. We're not sure what there was a number of investigations that were not voted on by the board. The board has not been advised of the number or the subject of those investigations, and I would vote against the payment to the firm of Liebert Cassidy Whitmore at this time, although I have no problem with the other warrants.
Adam Nichols?
That is a good question. Um, I really don't.
This payment represents the final payment in regards to the joint investigation.
To the joint
investigation. Yes. And that's what this represents. In an effort to move on and move ahead, I wanted to make sure we process this as in a timely manner to wrap this matter up. And we're hoping to see greatly reduced legal bills as we wrap up matters, right, and this is right. One we're trying to wrap up.
Okay, as long as it is for this joint investigation, I see no problem with paying it, whether it's higher than people expected or would like to see or not. It was work that was done.
Is that a motion?
I would move approval of the warrants with the exception of Liebert Cassidy Whitmore.
Hearing no second. Motion dice fails.
For second. Huh? Dice for lack of second?
Yes. Dice for lack of second. I'm going to make a motion that we pay the bills. We approve the warrants.
I second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Point of order. Do we need a roll call?
I don't think it's required, but it's always a good that we can certainly do a roll call if you request it.
Madam Chair, we'll request a roll call on the election, on the votes then. Yes.
Acting Chair White?
Yes.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Director Hill?
No.
Fails 2-1. Moving on, approval of the minutes.
I think it passes 2.
Yeah.
Pass 2-1.
Approval of the minutes of the meeting of September 20th, 2017. Public comment.
Julie Tacker again, and specifically I wanted to raise an issue with the public comment period where I actually brought you a letter, the board that was here at that meeting, a letter from Mr. Jenkins that was given to the city of Arroyo Grande, and it's referenced, but it's not attached. It's not on your website. Also, with regard to the previous meeting, because the approval of the minutes of that meeting, the letter from Mr. Jenkins was not included and not put on the website. Later tonight, you will talk about some process and that the investigation is on the website, but the responses from Mayor Hill's legal counsel are not on your website. So I don't think the public has had the transparency that we would all expect, and you probably haven't read them because they weren't available to you unless your staff provided them separately, which then they should have been provided to the public. I provided one to you. Mr. Jenkins provided one to the board 2 weeks earlier. Neither of those, again, have been on your website, and the reference to them in the minutes is useless if the public doesn't have access to them.
Would you like me to respond?
Yes, I would.
Consideration of placing those Mr. Jenkins' letter on the website was considered by the board, and no action was taken in that regard. So the board did not direct us to put them on the website. Of course, Mr. Jenkins' letter was available to you. We actually provided it to Ms. Tacker so she could provide it to you, and that's how that occurred. So I believe the letter has been available at the meetings. It's a matter of record. It just because it's not on the website or not posted as the minutes, as part of the minutes, does not mean it's not a matter of record. It's still a matter of public record.
Thank you. Any other public comments?
Yes. Patricia Price, I would like to know if you have read the response, if you have read the information, the investigation, anything more than perhaps a summary. Have you looked at what the issues were and how they were responded to? Have you watched the meetings? Did you watch the last South Sand meeting? I would like to know if you did your homework to come forth with a responsible vote tonight.
Thank you. Anything else?
Nancy McNeil, Oceano. Minutes do not have to reflect every single thing every person comes to the microphone to say. Minutes do not have to reflect every document that we pass on to you. Minutes have to reflect what action the board took and what the vote was. So, you know, if people want their what they have to say put into the minutes, that's an unreasonable request, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Mary Lucy, Madam Chair, I would ask that you be very diligent tonight in keeping people posted on what the agenda is and what we're talking about, not to get up here and argue one's point or argue somebody's letter. That doesn't have anything to do with the approving this item. So I ask you to please pay attention closely to that, of people getting off track and turning it into something that it's not. We're on consent agenda.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Any discussion on the minutes? Jim? Mr. Hill?
No.
Say. Jim?
It's quite all right.
I move the minutes be accepted as offered.
Yep. Second? Roll call vote?
Sure. Chairman White?
Yes.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Thank you. Moving on to action items, 6A, consideration of a resolution of censure of Director Jim Hill.
Good evening, board, members of the audience. On March 1st, the board approved a request from the City of Arroyo Grande to facilitate an independent joint investigation of alleged misconduct. The investigation was performed by LCW and was made available to the public, and it was posted on the district website in early August. At the September 6, 2017 district meeting, the board chose to waive its confidentiality on a memo from Liebert Cassidy Whitmore, which provided recommendations and conclusions. At the September 20th meeting, after much debate and public input, the board directed the following actions. Direct staff to ignore all unilateral directions from any director and to immediately notify the entire board of such. Direct staff to ignore any attempts by any director to interfere with personnel matters and notify board of such. Authorize district council to draft a letter for the chair's signature to the City of Arroyo Grande with research legal justifications requesting that Mayor Hill be removed from the district board. Training for all the directors. Direct staff to not provide Director Hill with any confidential emails and adopt the recommendations of LCW. And the recommendations of LCW was one, public censure of Director Hill, and training for Director Hill pertaining to ethics as well as the Brown Act. Before you tonight is the consideration of a resolution of censure, and that's my discussion, and we're available to answer any questions.
Open it to public comment.
Julie Tacker again, and I would ask that you consider that you are retroactively applying this bylaw. The dates of the items that are the evidence in the report
are September 15th, 2016, October 5th, 2016, November 5th, 2016, January 17th, 2015. Again, the bylaw was adopted February 15th, 2017. So if you're going to act retroactively, then you need to do it fairly and retroactively apply the bylaw to Ms. Lucy's censure in September of 2016. I'd like to tell you that I was interviewed as part of this investigation along with 19 other people. None of us was under oath. None of us was under penalty of perjury. And there are no national secrets at the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, nor are there any national secrets at the city of Arroyo Grande. This investigation is absurd. The amount of money, the amount of manpower, the human toll is ridiculous. Why Mayor Scholes and Linda Austin are not here tonight is, let me just say, interesting. This item could have waited for them to own in their political careers for the rest of their lives. Instead, they're asking you ladies to do that. You wear it. You wear it in your political career, censuring the mayor of a community in the South County that has more constituents than either of yours, a mayor that received over 60% of the electorate's vote in his community just last November. You are going to wear this throughout your careers. I ask that you either continue it or kill it.
Thank you, members of the board. Colin Kubel. I also want to just make it very clear that I wonder about the absence of the other two board members also. I don't believe this is fair to you two ladies to put this on your shoulders. Your board members also, your alternates, or vice versa. This has been a long, tedious process. Unless you've been here through the whole thing, reading the investigation, reading everything that's happened, hearing everything that's been going on in this meeting, there's no way that you could pick up on all of the very, very unbelievably, what I want to say is the investigation that had so many opinions. They were opinions. They were not facts. And that's the biggest thing that I came away with, having been involved in investigations for many, many years. They are opinions. They are not facts. And some of those are twisted, and some of those are just fact false. And so for you ladies to have to wear this again is not right. And you have to really think about what you're doing. And I just want you to really consider it, because I know that you both do your jobs the best you can. And the constituency in Arroyo Grande, if Mayor Hill is censured, he is my representative. I vehemently disagree with that. And that I will stand here and yell up to the rooftops as long as I can, because I know that he didn't do the things that investigation, which was biased against him in the first place, since he didn't get a chance to talk during the investigation. So you really have to think about it, consider what you're doing, and understand the impact of your decision tonight is going to be, again, either continue it or make the right decision. Let's go forward, not backwards, and let us go on and do what needs to be done at the district. Thank you.
Thank you.
Patricia Price. I wanted to say that the two people that really got this going, Mary Lucy complaining to the Arroyo Grande City Council, Mary Lucy, who was a director on this board when she blatantly lied about the ocean being polluted beyond repair, and the district spending millions on a plant that wasn't working right, and she knew differently. She was a director when she stated that, and those statements were false, and they were public. They were made public. She was one of the people that instigated this. The other one, and I will read, this is some of the stuff that Julie got when she asked for public records. This letter was in it. And it says, Scott, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought it was rather odd you stating that what you did about this case. Scott was the investigator. Your statement about how you thought this was going to be a case of following the bouncing ball, and it was anything but that. And your comments about Julie Tacker, I just don't know what to think. I hope you can do a true and honest investigation because you sounded frustrated and annoyed about this investigation. Since I was behind this whole thing, and it has been an ordeal, the last thing I needed was to feel as if the investigator was venting his frustrations to me about the case. I don't think it was professional at all. She goes on to say that she felt left out because nobody contacted her for a while, and it's signed Patty Welsh. Those are the two people that got this whole thing started. So I ask you to take that into consideration. Was this investigation biased? I think it was.
Thank you. Next.
Mary Lucia Sciano, for the people who showed up for the circus at the OCSD room when Mr. Hill tried to censure me, knows that Julie Tacker is blatantly lying to your face. That censure died for lack of a second, and I withdrew my censure from you. So once again, we have Ms. Tacker up here lying to your faces. And I still stand by my word that the ocean is polluted beyond repair. When you have a test and you're manipulating the tests for the quality, the water quality going out into that ocean, I stand firm by that. I believe in that. And when planes can go by and see a big brown spot right off the coast of Oceano, yes, we have a problem. So, you know, whatever happened to the tests, they just always seem to slide by days. So, of course, they were manipulated. You had to go out to the beach. You could smell it. You could see it. I'm sorry, but you can call me a lot of things, but you can't call me a liar. You ladies, I applaud you. I do not think that you're ignorant. I do not think that you don't have the ability to get a hold of any reports, any investigations that were written and all the legal, you know, going back and forth. You know, I think you're totally capable of doing that. AGP plays it live. They videotape it. And I have no doubt that you are fully informed as much as your advisors. My main concern is that in the censure, it censures Mr. Hill from getting any confidential emails, but it doesn't censure him from going into closed session and discussing the facts of those confidential emails. So he may not receive them, right? But when it has to do with personnel issues and just happens to be his favorite friend, just like Mr. Wallace had favorite friends, you know, he goes in behind closed doors and discusses them. So you tell me the difference between Mayor Hill not getting a document from the attorney and going behind closed doors and negotiating a deal for his buds, which came out in the report as in an inappropriate relationship with a loyalty to one employee, not the rate players. Payers, excuse me. So as far as you ladies being called uninformed, I hope you wear that badge proudly in your political careers. You know, so I have a few seconds left. So I want an answer as to how can you not send a confidential email to somebody? They refuse to leave closed session. Of course, Mr. Hill would never do that, you know, and have discussion about one's compensation about ripping off the ratepayers because it's his butt. So I'm not happy with that one at all because I didn't think it went far enough. And the attorney actually wrote it out quite nicely. So I don't know. I think it's all based on interpretation.
Thank you. Next.
Nancy McNeil, Oceano. I agree. Put it behind us and go forward. We cannot put it behind us until Mayor Hill is censured. This is the advice from our attorneys. If we continue to ignore the advice from our attorneys, we are going to incur more and more and more legal fees. They're advising us to do this. Take their advice. The investigation took 8 months. It uncovered the truth, period. Okay? And the last board meeting, they voted to censure Jim Hill. And all you have to do is carry it out. They voted to do it. So as far as you being tagged as the bad guys and all that, that's much crap. So, yeah, let's do this and move forward. Thank you.
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. So I wanted to talk about at last week's Arroyo City Council meeting. And towards the end of the meeting, they have council reports. And in council reports, basically, all of you have those. You report on whatever group you attended and the subject discussed, and if there were any actions taken. It's pretty simple. During Director Hill, he reported on the sanitation district. And then he started defending his actions and disputing the conclusions of the investigation. So at two times, the city attorney had to admonish him to stop talking, that he could only speak to what happened as far as what was discussed and what action was taken. It was not his time to discuss himself. Now, the city attorney's job is to protect the city. It's not to protect the council or Mayor Hill or anybody else. They protect the city from liability. So when she had to ask him twice to stop talking, that means she was concerned about liability issues. So in that respect, I think this censure is totally justified because, unfortunately, Ms. Director Hill doesn't know when he can speak or not speak on a subject. I mean, it's really plain. If you can't listen to the attorney and keep talking, you have a problem.
Thank you. Next.
My first comment is that neither of the board members who initiated this action is in attendance. The district has never censured a member of the board, and public censure of a board member out of mutual respect and professionalism should have the chair and the primary directors present. I reviewed the video of the San District meeting on September 21st, 2016, and at that time there were concerns about public censure of Director Lucy and Director Hill. Legal counsel stated, in order to avoid potential liability, the board member who is subject to the censure should be allowed to hear the charges against them and an opportunity to respond. It is well documented in the AG City Council meeting on September 12th and the district meeting on September 20th that LCW would not provide Director Hill the charges against him, and hence he could not respond until the investigation was over. LCW stated that they did not provide Director Hill with due process because that would compromise the investigation by allowing Director Hill to potentially tamper with witnesses and deviate from the truth and change his responses and to better defend himself. So the recommendations that you are considering implementing are based on a report that didn't give the due process advised by district legal counsel. The investigation was compromised because LCW, in making their recommendations, did not use the complete set of facts. LCW stated that recommendations were supported by the facts of the investigation. However, on page 7 of the report, the investigator's fact that Director Hill acted outside his legislative role is based on opinion. The report reads, the investigator concluded that since Hill declined to participate in the investigation, the district administrator's version of events was unrebutted. So the report says it's a fact because it's unrebutted, not because the district administrator, district administrator's statement is true. This is very alarming. Since at the September 20th meeting, I identified two instances that the district attorney made blatantly false statements during board meetings. I don't support censure. The basis for this censure is a report that is unbalanced, did not evaluate all the evidence that was available, contains inconsistencies that I identified at the September 20th meeting, and is not always supported by fact. In addition, I agree even more with the request to remove Director Hill from the board. He is the one director that takes his fiduciary responsibility seriously. The stewardship of our funds is not a priority of this board. You must review and question invoices. Look at the costs versus the benefit that the district receives, and follow the execution of the budget. If this is currently being done, it is not apparent to the ratepayers. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, Mr. Jenkins.
Thank you.
3 minutes, please.
Well, I'm going to ask for your examination of the resolution, which said something along the lines that Mayor Hill would be given due process, essentially at this meeting, by letting him defend himself, and I'm here to defend him. So I might need a little more than 3 minutes, but I brought you a written version of my statement.
And thank you very much.
I've also brought the two directors who may not have received them with the letter that I sent to the Arroyo Grande City Council when there was a little more information available, which it was not in your packet, and obviously it was not on the website. So I don't know if you've reviewed it, but I want you to have the opportunity, because there are certain things in there that are established that I think will be important. So permit me, if I may. I'm Stu Jenkins. I'm the attorney for Jim Hill. And I'm obligated to provide you 5 points in opposition to this resolution of censure. One, you have been left holding the bag to later take the blame for voting yes to censure Mayor Hill on completely false charges manufactured by Liebert, Cassidy, and Whitmore. That Fresno law firm has collected $50,000, I guess now $60,000, to fool you with a smoke and mirrors show. Jim Hill is not hiding or playing the victim. He remains a happy warrior working to permanently end the culture of corruption that has afflicted the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Now, I don't think either of you were a part of that, but the history is such that it's got to be taken care of. Number two, your staff and team of lawyers have declined to provide you with the 19-page response, which I just gave you. I prepared and presented on September 8th that exposed event by event and email by email the fallacy in the phony, quote, investigation, end of quote, report prepared by that expensive Fresno law firm, hired to go gunning for Mayor Hill. That letter established that Mayor Scholz, a good man, had done far more to insert himself into personnel matters than Mayor Hill had done, a matter Mayor Scholz admitted at the last meeting of this board. Three, attorney-client privilege. When an attorney asks you to pass the salt, no privilege to keep that statement secret attaches. A review of the unredacted emails Mayor Hill sent reveals that the claim that Mayor Hill revealed privileged attorney-client emails is entirely false. An attorney putting him or herself at odds with a key employee with a, quote, notice of investigation, end of quote, has no attorney-client relationship with that person. And when the employee forwards it to others, he or she puts it out to the public. Four, legislative oversight role. Notice how I put that in a different term. The manufactured term that Liebert Cassidy Whitmore gave you, acting outside the legislative role, exists nowhere in the law, except in cases about judges making rulings that would invade the legislative role. The claim is made that Mayor Hill's oversight has been outside of the, quote, chain of command, end of quote. This claim is primarily based on his emails asking that meeting agendas include expenditures not authorized by the board, requests that investigations of employees not then authorized by the board be on the agenda, and that employee complaints be put on the agenda. Such was consistent with district bylaws as then existing in Provision 4.1. In fact, according to that bylaw, the administrator was required to put the matters on the agenda, but demonstrating his resistance to the, quote, chain of command, he refused to do so. Ask yourself and your constituents about the chain of command that the public merits and expects. Voters are and should be at the top of the command structure of a public agency. The three representatives elected to supervise this sanitation district are charged with direct oversight according to the statutes creating this district. An administrator and the attorneys for the district are and should be in a subordinate position, responsible to respond to the oversight of each representative with complete and accurate information. It is clear from following this district's history that the public service and oversight model created by the legislature and the voters of Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and my former home Oceano has been turned on its head by prior administrators and lawyers for the district who fooled board members into abdicating their legislative role to a point that runaway administrators and lawyers have dissipated $6 million in reserves intended for upgrades and incurred over $2 million in fines and legal fees. You weren't part of that. Don't make yourself part of that. You can take the first step to roll back the loss of public control over the sanitation district. Your vote against censure will take that first step. It will secure your right to fulfill your legislative oversight role. Five, confidential personnel matters are only confidential for the benefit of employees, not for the benefit of an administrator mistreating those employees or attorneys collaborating with that administrator. Employees have a perfect right to turn to elected officials and the public, thank you, Ms. Lucy, by retransmitting what they have been sent by agency attorneys who notify them that the agency is now investigating those employees. Accusations against an employee are also confidential if they were made privately, not if the complaint was made in public to individuals outside the agency. If you read my letter, you will see that the McNeil-Lucy complaint against the plant superintendent was publicly made, at the very least, to the sitting county supervisor and county sheriff in addition to this board. Mayor Hill's actions has sought to save people in Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano millions of dollars. Kill the tapeworm of runaway administrators and runaway lawyers sucking the lifeblood out of the sanitation district, who target, with publicly funded secret star chamber investigations, any board member with the courage to stand up against them. All I asked for from those investigators was a list of the charges that you would expect, and which, in fact, Ms. Bennett here expected when she was asked a question about what if somebody made an accusation against you. She said, I'd want something in writing that told me the charges and who the accusers were. That's what we asked for. They broke contact. Take back the public's right to oversight tonight. Vote no on censure, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm available for any questions you might have.
Anyone else?
Nancy McNeil, Oceano. Yeah, I know. I already talked.
Three
I didn't
minutes.
Use my
didn't
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
So, well, I'm doing it again. So,
Nancy,
in any
Nancy,
case, what I wanted
don't.
To say.
Please don't, because you did speak once before.
Right, but how much time is allowed it for each speaker?
One speaker for each topic. Honest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Anyone else? Everybody's had a turn. Discussion. I think it would be only right, Mr. Hill, if you'd like to say, make a comment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe that I've...
Excuse me, I would suggest we close the matter to public comment.
Oh, yes. Close the matter to public comment and bring it back to the board. There, it's official.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have demonstrated in the last meetings. I've rebutted the charges completely. I've continued to believe that the investigation was brought on as a political attack by the former administrator and others, and was in part racially motivated. And the record will be what it is. And I trust that you'll act fairly and impartially. Thank you.
Do you have anything you want to say? I would like to know how you fit, Mr. Hill figures that this is a racial issue.
Not about me personally.
Okay, thank you. I have done my homework. There's a ton of reading in a 2-day time. And I'm prepared to take it to a vote if everybody else is so inclined.
And I have a statement. I first should explain for Linda Austin's benefit. Her husband is basically critically ill. And he's undergoing tests at Stanford University, and you don't get to pick the day that you do testing at Stanford University. So, I mean, that's...
And if I may interject, Director Scholes is doing his obligation for his mortgage payer, PG&E, tonight.
I've watched the video of the September 20th 2017 meeting twice, paying special attention to the arguments of Mr. Hill and Mr. Jenkins. I've read the meeting minutes and the LCW summary report from Mrs. Bennett again after listening to it twice. In the past 18 months, I've passed ethics, harassment, and leadership training. I earlier participated in the SAN meeting when Mr. Hill presented his case. I feel I'm prepared to make a judgment call on the issue. I should also say that as an alternative to Board Member Linda Austin, I also understand the challenge raised in the summary report that I believe wrongfully accused Mr. Hill of the serial meeting in discussions with Tim Brown. Several months ago, the city of Roy Grande was warned about elected officials taking individual independent action. That was prior to the present allegations. I question why these leaders did not pay attention then. Action outside the rules of good government also have unpleasant outcomes. It's bad press for the leadership, but much more important, it's the money lost to the taxpayers. All the dollars spent on attorneys, investigations, public records requests, and long, lengthy meetings involving these situations could purchase a lot of pipelines or redundancy. And then that does not even consider the extreme cost when litigation results. Serving on an elected board is like being on a sports team. You play by the rules or you are penalized. In this case, the main rule is that every team member has to have his or her hand on the ball to make a point. When one player runs off with the ball, the black flag, yellow card, or red light appears. You most likely get a penalty, or at least play is stopped. No play equals no score, no progress on important projects, or needed work to be done. Yes, the game has lots of rules. Does Jim Hill know all the rules? I don't know. But judging from some of his actions, it can be questioned. Rather, I believe he does not need to follow all the rules all the time. After all, he is mayor of the largest entity in the Sand District and speaks often of his individual fiduciary duties. But in this case, everybody, every entity has the equal vote and a shared duty. They call it a democracy. Thank you. I make a motion. I need to say it. I make a motion that we censor Director Jim Hill.
I second that motion.
It's moved and seconded. May I have a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Director Nichols.
Yes.
Director Hill.
Respectfully, no.
Yes.
Motion carries two to one.
I'm sorry.
Next item.
Next item, 6B, Technical Consultants and Plant Operations Report to receive and file.
This item was continued from last meeting. We have added some supplemental items to this. Generally, what we have been doing is asking if there's any questions to that report, and we will delve into the issues further.
Just starting from the first one, I'd like to know how much further the Cherry Lane project has moved since this was written.
It should be completed by October 31st, so there's significant completion at this point. Most of the actual coding is completed, and there's just a touch-up work underway.
Very good. I'm hoping we can. I think the rains are coming early this year, so. You got any, Jim?
To continue that, will all the touch-up work be completed by the time that the Department of Fish and Wildlife was wanting to see everything completed?
Yes. They're actually a little ahead of schedule to make that date.
Thank you. Do you have others, Karen? Or do you have other questions?
No. Go ahead if you have. Go ahead and ask your questions.
Could you, this report states the mechanical bar screen is operational. Can you provide a discussion about that?
Yes. The mechanical bar screen, I thought I did a little bit more on that description. The mechanical bar screen, while operational, is not functioning up to specifications at this time. There is a rigorous effort put forth by the contractor, our construction management firm, and the product supplier, Duperin, to bring that project in the specification. It's a complex project, and we are hoping to see completion soon. We still hold $61,000 on that project in retention, so we believe that we certainly aren't going to pay that out until we have a project functioning in the manner we expected.
Okay, thank you for that. I would agree with your assessment and your proposal to proceed cautiously with that. The state down to financing of the redundancy project, the statements made that all portions of the state revolving fund loan package application have been submitted to the State Water Resources Control Board, yet there was a phone call apparently with the Water Resources Control Board SRF loan staff, and they've requested a number of submittals. I'm confused about the report stating, first of all, that it's all been submitted, but then it says later that a large number of submittals are going to be necessary.
Yes, it's a. We have been recently delving into that, and it's a, it is kind of a complex issue. The issues primarily have to do with the requirements of the federal government under loans for, this is my understanding of it, for loans that may be available under a federal program. I'm skipping my mind, it's one we applied for, through Guadalupe, which they still are being recognized by this agency as a at-need city or at-need location. Then at the same time, it turns out that SRF wants those documents also. I guess it's an issue you can argue with them about, but we are choosing just to produce the documents in this case. I guess it's, you don't want to argue with somebody and say, would you please give me money?
Okay, lastly, one that I know is of interest is the audit.
Oh.
And we've been told for some time that the audit was a week out, and months have gone by with the audit a week out. What's the status of the audit?
You're looking at a very frustrated guy on the audit. First of all, let me apologize to Chris V, because you sent a email to me or to Paul and I a couple days ago, and I haven't responded yet to that. We are still striving to answer questions from the auditor. I don't perceive those questions are of substantial nature in regards to the financial security of our operation. They tend to be more I think along the accounting guideline principles and guidelines that they would like satisfied. We think we answer them, and then apparently we haven't answered them sufficiently. So we continue to try to work on that. I have to say in the last week, we probably haven't had much correspondence with them because we've been involved in many other things. But next week we are planning to try to make that an effort to try to get that ironed out. I'd like to tell you it would be next week, but every time I thought it would be next week, it wasn't. So it's been a little frustrating.
I guess I understand the frustration, feeling some of that myself, and hopefully we can provide whatever resources are necessary to make sure that we get the audit completed as timely as possible.
That is our goal. Okay. We wish we thought we'd be done a month ago, quite frankly.
Okay, thank you. Sewer System Management Plan Audit Report. Where are we with that? Is that completed and Are we in compliance with our sewer system management plan? I know we have infiltration and inflow issues.
We believe that there is a gap in certain issues on the sanitary sewer monitoring plan, and we are looking to correct those. We just have recently discovered that those issues exist in regards to our guidelines for when pipe is inspected, and that we have not engaged someone to complete that at this point because we're trying to figure out the best approach to meeting those standards.
Okay. So in inspection is something that we're planning in the relatively near future. Would that dovetail with the INI study?
It's kind of a separate thing. What we're talking about is video surveying of the lines. So I think what you want to do is try to survey those lines which you feel are at the highest risk. So the INI study may help with that, but some of the INI study is developed to indicate issues with entities upstream of us. So we would not necessarily be surveying. If we're seeing increased flows from a certain area, it doesn't necessarily indicate that it's our pipe that's the problem.
Okay, I understand. Going to the plant operations report about chlorine, first of all, it looks like the effluent biological oxygen demand numbers are down compared to a year ago, which is good. But the chlorine usage, it says pounds per day, 484 pounds. And then the statements made, high chlorine usage due to filling of secondary bug box tote does not necessarily mean a large amount of chlorine was used that day. I would certainly agree that replenishing a storage tank doesn't mean that you've used a lot of chlorine. So do we have a policy on how to report that? In other words, if we're replenishing a storage tank that from which we report daily usage, that doesn't seem to me to indicate that there was usage that day. And I was wondering if we've actually measured what was used that day, not just in terms of replenishment of the storage tank. Is that question clear?
Yes, I find that an odd statement also. I would ask that you let me look into that further. I would not be surprised by a high usage of chlorine, but that's a little higher than I would expect. Due to difficulties with the headworks, which are causing subsequent problems with the grit chamber, and also are taking down of the digester at this point. So I would not be surprised if we had a higher chlorine usage to address those issues, but that seems a little bit out and out. I'd be glad to look into that a little more and report that back.
Okay, thank you. Variable frequency drive failures. I just don't understand this statement. Fluid resource management cleared out the washer compactor and adjusted the orifice restrictor plate to 90 degrees.
That was... Wow. Now we're getting into some complex issues. What that refers to is adjustments that were made to the headworks in an effort to meet our specifications. And that effort was not successful. In fact, it The idea is that you're sorting rags, is what we would call them, which are really more like paper towels, and there's some rags involved, from the organics. And it's a complex mechanical process, and that adjustment was made because we're not getting the separation from that was required. That was what the manufacturer suggested, and FRM, as the contractor, went out and tried that. And it did a little too good a job in that we got absolutely no discharge from the headworks. And it all plugged up in the discharge pipe from the headworks. And I will do us all a favor and not show you the photos.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Because it was pretty much, I've been involved in plant work for 35 years, and it's probably the most disgusting thing I ever saw.
Okay, and so we then removed that restrictor plate and noticed that there was some structural damage.
When, by the fact that it packed all this material up when they turned it to 90 degrees, remember, this project's not accepted. We don't own this thing. It's right. A project that's still under construction. But when they did the restrictor plate, what happened is they compacted so much of this material, it burst the pipes. So now they had to replace those sections of pipes. And please don't try to picture what that means in your head.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that our experts are working on it. I'm sorry that you have to deal with issues of that nature. Those are my questions.
Does all of these little challenges have to do with trying to repair old equipment, or is it?
Not all of it. The headworks are, as we talked about, new. So that is a critical portion of our operation. So that's something that we're trying to get online.
So it was new but not working quite right.
Right. The project was installed prior to us coming on the plant, so I can't really tell you all the details about how that happened. But once we came on the plant, we certainly recognized that it wasn't operating as it should, and we've been working to correct that.
Are we having to add consultants to the obviously, we have a company that still we owe some money. I mean,
no. What's happened is at this point, the extra costs associated with our construction management staff is being incurred at least mostly by the product manufacturer.
Okay.
So that's they're still operating within the limits of their present contract. I don't believe that we're incurring any extra costs. They're picking up costs for enhanced disposal that is required because of this process and many things. I'm glad that the manufacturer is doing that because I've certainly been involved in projects where the manufacturer at this point would have thrown up his hands and Mr. Trujillo would be much more involved. So,
yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Most of my questions have been asked and answered.
Thank you.
I can't actually think of one that hasn't been.
I realized I didn't call for a public comment on that whole thing.
Okay. You ready?
Yes, public comment, because it's not an action item. I didn't think about it.
You still get public comment?
Yes, ma'am.
That's right. So I am Julie Tacker, and some of the report is a little bit stale, and I'd actually like to know what happened. The item regarding the Coastal Commission permitting and that they would be touring the facility on August 1st. I'd like to know how that went and what came out of that, if that happened. The human resource personnel policy
the expected job descriptions, et cetera, were supposed to be at the July 28th meeting. This is September. Then the strategic planning initiative was supposed to have been postponed to September, and September is, you're not going to have any more meetings in September. I'd like to jump to the public records request item. This is the first time that I've seen a district or anyone offer to put the values of public records submitted before their board. And be careful not to use Shirley Gibson's figures, because if you do, I will just tell you that 3,715 pages at $350 an hour, which is the highest rate for Liebert Cassidy Whitmore, would have taken them 31 hours to come to the amount of money she suggests that that cost, or $2.96 per page. If that is the case, or even half of that is the case, you have a complaint for the Bar Association. The Bar frowns greatly on overcharging, and that would be overcharging. What I'm not seeing here is Mayor Hill asked about the audit. I'm very concerned about the current status of the district. Some $800,000 was questioned. Mayor Hill brought that to our attention upon the separation of Mr. Huebner. Mr. Karp promised to bring that back at the subsequent meeting. That meeting was three or four meetings ago. Mayor Scholes at the last meeting, Mayor Hill in meetings for probably over the last decade, have expressed an interest in expanding the Sanitation District Board. I think that is time. That conversation needs to come to the tri-communities, what that looks like, what it takes, and what are the goals of the constituents within this district. I'd like to see that on future agenda. I think it's time to be searching for a new administrator. You have a very short fuse on the term of Mr. Sweet and Mr. Karp. I have a concern with regard to distribution of materials to the board, all six board members, alternates included. I know I have submitted some letters. I sent something off last night to you all because I wasn't sure if you were getting it from your administrator. I'd like to know that that those things are making their way through and that something's being done about them. One of them is a formal complaint against Mayor Scholes with regard to his dabbling in personnel matters. And I think that deserves an investigation. That puts the district at risk, and more so than the alleged charges of Mayor Hill. Is the ocean damaged beyond repair? We don't get our questions answered. Mary Lucy continues to say that, and that brings liability on this district. She said it when she was a director last year. The district has not refuted that and needs to. They need to. So, I mean, I know Surfrider would not be happy with that statement. I wish Brad was here tonight. So, you know, there are so many more things you should be doing. This entire investigation, the cost, et cetera, the human toll, as I mentioned before, but the distraction from doing the district's business is incalculable.
Members of the board, Colleen Kubel again. I would like to also share my thoughts about the board number of the board members. Three-member boards, again, I think I said this at an OCSD meeting.
That's not a topic of discussion at this time on the agenda. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem. I'll come back.
Yeah, come back. Next time when it's open non-agenda items. Anyone else? Board member communications?
Nothing from me.
I have nothing. Mr. Hill? Then we'll move on to closed session. Do you want to announce the closed session items, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are two items on your closed session agenda this evening. The first is conference with labor negotiators. Agency designated representative Richard Sweet or Paul J. Karp and Susan Wells. Employee organization SEIU. The second item on your closed session agenda is conference with legal counsel. Anticipated litigation, one matter pursuant to the Brown Act as indicated on the agenda. And thank you.
Thank you.
Question, could you provide the detail of that anticipated litigation with respect to who the parties are and what the general nature of the exposure is?
There is a contemporaneous record memo. Did you bring that this time?
No.
Okay. It was brought at the last closed session with extra copies for the public. It identifies the threat of litigation under my interpretation of the Brown Act, and it is available for public inspection upon anybody's request.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, public comment?
Public comment again.
I was wondering who made the complaint and to what board member, and is there a memorandum available to the public tonight so we can comment on it?
I thought that was just answered. No.
Maybe she missed it. I didn't see one available at the last meeting, and I did get one through use of the Public Record Act. My question is this the same matter, or is this another one?
Same matter.
How unfortunate.
Mary Lucia Sciano. Well, for some of us that don't sit there and print in public request records all day long, can you maybe like fill us in a little bit more as to, is it a personnel issue? Is it an outside litigation? Is it, you know, can you tell us a little bit more? You know, it appears that, you know, Mayor Hill's supporters are fully aware and have contracts in hand and everything like that, where us, we had no idea, you know, Shaney's contract was going to come up or, you know, whatever document that you're speaking about. So anything you're discussing, is it going into, are any, is it going to be personnel issues? Yeah, that's a yes or no question.
Yes, please. I would like you to respond. That's why I'm looking at you. Yeah.
Thank you. We will provide you with the copy of the memorandum. There is not really any additional facts that I'm at liberty to discuss tonight in open session.
Well, that didn't help at all, you know. None whatsoever. It should have been on the back table or something like that, so we could have at least known, you know, instead of having to, you know, slide it in the door like others do. If you're going to discuss personnel issues, I have a real problem with Mr. Hill not being able to have confidential emails and then go in and negotiate the contracts of his friends. That is exactly what Wallace has been charged with the DA. And so I want to know, and I have no idea, does legal counsel advise their board that they're in violation and the law is being broken when things like that occur? You know, so, I mean, if we're going to play fair and it's going to be truly transparent, you know, which that's a farce, then you know, you can't not get emails and then go in and negotiate your bud's contract. That ain't, it's just wrong.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Colleen Google, I just want to refute what was just said. That is not what Mayor Hill was talking about. That's not what it was about. What she just said is
false.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Anything else? We'll move on to a closed session at 8:43. Yeah, I think so.
7:41.
7:41. Just seems like 8:41. Thank you.